believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of even of me also, as one of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Father, we thank You for this tremendous truth of the resurrection. And Father, we thank You that we just don't have to accept this by blind faith as well. As Lord, as there were many witnesses to this glorious event, and Lord, we thank You for the truth that because You live, we also live. And Lord, we are so grateful today for what You accomplished and how much You loved us to die on the cross and to suffer there, to be buried, but then also rise again on the third day, according as the Scriptures say and according as You had said. We ask Your blessing upon this message this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In a Christian question and answer column, the following letter appeared. Dear Eutychus, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed Him back to health. What do you think? The editor's reply was this. Dear reader, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails with 39 heavy strokes. Nail him to a cross. Hang him in the blistering sun for 6 hours. Run a spear through his heart. Embalm him. Thank you, Joan. Put him in an airless tomb for 72 hours and see what happens. The doctrine of the resurrection is probably the most important doctrine because it sets Christianity apart from all other religions on the face of the earth. The resurrection, the cardinal doctrine of Christianity, everything that we believe, everything that we hold sacred, everything that we hold dear falls on the fact of the resurrection. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then you're still in your sins. We're all sinners here this morning. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there is no hope. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we have no gospel to preach about, no Savior to talk and witness about, and we are, as Paul said, of all men, most miserable. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we are all guilty of being deceived. Destroy the resurrection, and the status of Jesus is reduced to just another historical figure, no longer God. Destroy the doctrine of the resurrection and we have no justification. We can't stand before God, cleansed of our sins. So the devil hates the doctrine of the resurrection. As no other doctrine, he would love to destroy the doctrine of the resurrection. If he can convince that Jesus is dead, then we will never believe unto salvation. And perhaps that's why he's put it in the minds of men to doubt that the resurrection had ever happened at all. There are a number of people who didn't believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. Even in the days of Jesus, the Sadducees didn't believe. It says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 18, "Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection." There were some in the church that Paul was writing to that didn't believe in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So some there were saying it. Why they went to church, I have no idea. I don't know why you'd go to church if you didn't believe in the resurrection, but there were some there, maybe they're planted by the devil to try to discourage people and to get people to think that maybe this is not a reality. But I'm here today to thank God and to just remind you that the resurrection is a fact. And I want to take a few minutes today in giving you some truths about this important act. The truths in the resurrection that would cause us to worship Him like never before. First of all, there is the prophecy of His resurrection. Verse 4 there in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the what?" According to the Scriptures. The Scriptures talked about it. The psalmist talked about it in Psalm 16:10. He says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." The Savior, Jesus Himself, talked about His resurrection in a number of places in the New Testament. One is Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. As it says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But He answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He said in John chapter 2 and verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up." Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, "He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." So the Scriptures talked about the resurrection of Jesus. The psalmist prophesied about it thousands of years before it happened. Jesus Himself talked about it, prophesied about it, warned His disciples about it before it took place. But even before all of those things, we find that the New Testament the Bible pictures the resurrection. In Genesis chapter 22, an amazing account, if you were to look at all the similarities between Isaac and Jesus, and all the similarities between their 3-day journey, as Abraham was told by God to take his son, his only son, Isaac, and to go up onto a mountain and offer him there as a sacrifice. Abraham obeyed, and he took Isaac, his son, up the mountainside, Isaac carrying the wood for the offering, not knowing that he was the sacrifice. Then they finally got there. You know, a lot of Bible scholars say that Isaac was perhaps 25 years old at this time. He had a choice to lay himself on that altar. He probably could have overcame his pretty elderly father at that point. But he willingly was willing to become the sacrifice. And Abraham bound him and laid him on that altar and took the knife and was ready to slay his son when God stopped him and said, "Abraham, don't do it. I'm really not interested in any human sacrifice here. I just wanted to know if you would be obedient to me. And look over there. And if you look over there, you will find a ram caught in the thicket. Take that lamb and offer him instead of your son." And of course, that lamb is the type of Jesus Christ. "Behold, the Lamb of God," John said, "which came to take away the sins of the world." Jesus shed his blood as the Passover lamb. He died upon the cross as the perfect sacrifice, the unblemished Lamb of God. Way back in Genesis, there's this picture of the resurrection that will someday take place. And Jesus talked about the picture of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so also the Son of Man, Jesus, would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That would be the only sign, by the way, that he would give that generation, he said, of his resurrection. So the prediction of the resurrection and the fulfillment of it prove that Jesus is worthy to be followed and to be worshipped. One day a little girl proclaimed her faith as a Christian. Smart Aleck nearby responded by saying, "Which Christ? Aren't there many?" Her answer was a classic. She said, "Sir, there are many pretenders, but I worship the one, the only one, who rose from the dead." We worship the one, the only one, who rose from the dead. Are there other people who have claimed to be the Christ, the Messiah? Yeah, there are. They're all pretenders, because we worship the only one who conquered death and showed his power over death and the grave. Let's look at, secondly, some of the proofs of the resurrection. Think about that Roman guard and seal. They were worried about the disciples stealing the body of Jesus, and so they had this authoritative seal put across the tomb, the stone of the tomb. And they set up a guard there around the clock, 24 hours a day, to keep watch. There's this fear and weakness of the disciples. I can't think for a moment that the disciples could steal the body. They're too shaken up by what had taken place. They were in fear of the authorities. They went into hiding. The Romans wouldn't steal the body. They wouldn't want anybody to think that there was a resurrection. So if the disciples wouldn't take the body, the Romans wouldn't take the body, who's left? There's only one person that took the body, and that's God himself. He would be the only one that would be able to take the body. And it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So according to the scripture, who is the one that raised up the body of Jesus? It was God himself. And then there's the proof of human testimony. You know that there were more witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus than to the signing of the Declaration of Independence. How many of you think the Declaration of Independence is a legal document? How many of you think it was signed? How many people signed it? 50-some people signed it, right? The Declaration of Independence. How many people witnessed the resurrection of Jesus? Hundreds. Hundreds at one time saw him alive. The proof of human nature. People are not willing to die for something that they don't believe in, yet the disciples were willing to give up everything, including their lives, because they believed Jesus was alive. Just think about the change that came over them after the resurrection. Before that, they went into hiding. They denied even knowing him. At the very least, they followed afar off. But when they saw the resurrected Christ, their whole lives changed. They were willing to put their life on the line, and they were willing to die for him. People just don't die without any reason, without a cause. They don't die unless they believe in that cause, believe it to be true. The proof of common experience. The disciples were saddened by the death of Jesus and hiding in fear. Yet 3 days later, they were happy. They were filled with power. The only explanation is that he rose from the dead. And then the proof of changed lives. The disciples, they were transformed by the resurrection, especially Simon Peter. Here's the one who denied the Lord 3 times, went out and wept bitterly. And then when the resurrected Christ appeared to Mary, she said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Special point, go tell Peter. I know he's feeling sad. I know he's down about what he has done. But tell my disciples and tell Peter that I am alive. The changed lives as a result. Skeptics could say that's just emotion and self-will. I say it's the transforming power of a living Savior. And then the proof of time. Time is a great leveler. Dr. Harry Reimer was lecturing in a certain place, and during the question and answer period, a young Jewish man stood up and said, "Doctor, what did Jesus Christ do that no one else ever did?" Dr. Reimer answered him this way, "Sir, you are a Jew. Would you agree with me that the Romans crucified nearly 30,000 young Jewish men?" The questioner answered in the affirmative, "Yes, that's true. They put to death over 30,000 men on the cross." Dr. Reimer continued by saying, "All right, I will name one of those who were crucified, and you name another. I name Jesus Christ." The student said, "I can't give you another name." You know why he couldn't give another name, even though there were almost 30,000 other Jews that had been crucified about that time? Because only one name continues to live. Because he's alive. Because time is the great leveler of names and events, only one crucified Jew is named and known among men. His name is Jesus. He's remembered because he lives. Nobody remembers a dead man for that long. When people die, their name here is forgotten. And yet, Satan hates Jesus, the world hates Jesus, the demons hate Jesus. Why attack a dead man? Why would you attack a dead man? Because Satan knows that he's alive. He knows that he's living, and that's proof that Jesus is alive. If he were dead, Satan would just stop this whole business. But he continues to live. The proof of the senses. Would you turn to Luke chapter 24? Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 39. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 39. Jesus says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" Not that he was hungry, but he's trying to prove to them that this is actually him, that he's alive. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Notice the senses there. I know what I have seen, heard, felt, tasted. How about you? I know he's alive this morning. And then there is the proof of scientific archaeology, evidence from those disciplines. I don't know if you've ever heard of Gordon's tomb. How many of you have heard of Gordon's tomb? Anybody heard of that? In 1842, Otto Thenius proposed that a location near the place of the skull or Calvary or Golgotha, there was a tomb nearby where the crucifixion of Jesus occurred. In 1867, this was called the Garden Tomb. The Garden Tomb was discovered near the place believed to be the location of Jesus' death. The connection with the place of the skull, with the Garden Tomb, believed to be the place where Jesus was actually buried, was given prominence by British General Charles Gordon in 1883. And if you picked up a bulletin this morning when you came in, that picture on the front of the bulletin is a picture of the Garden Tomb or Gordon's tomb to be the place, to be the very tomb in which the body of Jesus was laid. Interesting thing took place here. They examined the soil in this tomb, and it was determined that no body ever decomposed in that tomb. Nobody ever decomposed in that tomb. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is alive. I wouldn't be here today preaching it if I didn't believe it. I believe that Jesus is alive. And because He lives, we also shall live. And it has great ramifications for our lives and for our futures. There have been many people, Littleton and West as examples, that set out to prove the conversion of Paul was a fake and the resurrection of Jesus was a fake. And you know, they wound up saved themselves. Because the evidence is overwhelming. And anybody who would just consider the facts, the evidence for themselves, would have to come to the same conclusion that Jesus Christ is alive. Let's look at, finally this morning, the purpose of the resurrection. What is the purpose of all of this? First of all, it activates the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. But the opposite of true, if Christ is risen, then our preaching has a purpose. And it's something that we better get involved with, and it's something that we need to do. A dead Savior saves no one. The gospel hasn't been preached. Listen, the gospel has not been preached until we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And there are going to be all kinds of churches all across the world today that will say that Jesus never rose from the dead. And I want you to know that in those churches, they are not preaching the gospel. We are not declaring the gospel until we say, Jesus died, He was buried, but thank God He rose again on the third day, just like He said He would. And it gives us a sense of purpose, and it means that we need to activate the gospel in our own lives and go out and tell other people that Jesus is alive. It authenticates our faith. Verses 14, as we just read in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. But again, the opposite is true. If Christ is raised, then our faith is not in vain. Our faith is alive and active. And again, we need to share that faith, and we need to tell in particular how Jesus Christ saved us, not just in our sins, but He saved us from our sins. And then it arranges our justification. Because Jesus lives, God had accepted His death as payment for the sins of all of those who put their faith and their trust in Him. Therefore, He sees us not as sinners, but He sees us justified, He sees us cleansed and made righteous and made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. Two very important things here. First of all, if you have not put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, in applying those things, His death, His burial, His resurrection into your life, then you're not saved here this morning. The gospel is that you have to believe those and you have to accept those and you have to apply His life as payment for your life. You have to receive Him. And then to recognize that you are not a sinner. You are a saint because of the blood of Christ who has washed all of your sins away. You may think, well, this is really no big deal, is it? And sometimes we need to think of ourselves as sinners because it keeps us humble. And that's true to a point. But you know, you begin to act the way you think about yourself. And you are saints here today. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a saint. You're a sinner saved by grace, yes, but you are a saint. It's not just reserved for a special few Catholic folk. You are a saint. What does that mean? It means to be sanctified. It means to be set apart, dedicated unto God. And then the resurrection, the proof of it, anticipates our future. Verses 22 and 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming. The firstfruits. That's just the beginning of the crop. That's just the guarantee. Because He lives, we also shall live. And because he lives, there will be a reunion someday. First, the first fruits, and then afterward, all that are Christ at his coming. Thank God that Jesus Christ lives. Matthew 28:6, he is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we can have everlasting life. Because he lives, life itself is worth living. Because he lives, I want to live. Thank God for the resurrection. Pastor Kelly, could you come back? Could you lead us in that chorus, Because he lives? Let's stand.